KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. We appreciate you tuning in. We're going to start this hour talking about sex, when it's consensual, when it's rape. This week in The Stranger, reporter Sydney Brownstone told the story of an alleged sex work scam in Seattle.
So an online profile under the name of Deja Stwali reached out to multiple women online. This Deja Stwali Facebook profile was posing as a porn recruiter, and these were very young women, 19 years old, 20 years old, looking to get into porn as a way to pay the bills. So this woman, Deja, would reach out to them, say, "You have the right look. I'm a porn recruiter. I work for a number of indie studios, and it's my job to get women into the porn industry safely because I've seen them get into some sketchy situations that didn't turn out to be real. I exist because I know there are scammers out there. And I will put you in touch with my best photographer, Maddie. He's my ex-boyfriend. He's great. You just need to go over to his apartment for an audition." And so these women allegedly went to his apartment, and he allegedly told them that part of the audition was having unfilmed sex with him in order to prove that they could do it. Several of the women felt violated after, but they couldn't put their finger on why. And they never heard from any porn production companies after that. And this Deja Stwali Facebook profile has been reaching out to women since at least 2013.
You named this photographer in your piece. What does he say for himself?
I put all of the allegations in the piece in front of him, gave him multiple opportunities to respond. He told me that he couldn't say anything and that he had hired a lawyer, and under the guidance of his lawyer, he was advised to not say anything. However, he was willing to speak in more general terms about the stories themselves because the stories originated online. He said that some things flying around aren't true and that he thinks that the stories are weird and ridiculous. He also said that he had hired a lawyer in the, quote, off chance that this becomes a legal issue, which kind of startled me because it seemed like several accusations were building against him. And at that point, at least one woman had filed a police report. So I asked him directly, I said, "You're not concerned that this one woman has filed a police report?" And he said, "Oh, I am. I just can't talk about it."
So now a question is, if these allegations are true, is this rape? Because these women say they consented at the time, but that's because they thought they were auditioning and he could launch their careers or, you know, get them work. They wouldn't have slept with this guy if they hadn't been lied to. What's the law say about this?
Well, so I think we need to be careful about saying that they consented at the time, because I think they would say now that that wasn't actually informed consent.
Was not consent. That's the question.
Right. So Washington actually kind of has somewhat regressive laws when it comes to rape. In order for rape to be prosecuted in the first degree, the law requires forcible compulsion. That means someone holding a deadly weapon, kidnapping you, inflicting serious physical injury. Consent only comes into the equation for rape in the third degree. And prosecutors find consent cases more difficult because of, well, our culture, of the stigma attached to people who report rape, and then a stigma attached to sex workers or people looking to get into sex work specifically. So in order to prosecute this rape, you would need a prosecutor who's willing to approach that stigma, who wants to find justice for these alleged crimes.
But there are some states, Sydney, that have spelled this out in their law, right? That this would constitute rape, right? Consent obtained by trickery?
Yes, there are several states who have passed laws under rape by deceit or rape by fraud. And these statutes were motivated by a series of cases in which men would sneak into women's homes in the middle of the night. They would get into bed, and the woman, thinking that this man was a boyfriend or a husband, would have sex with them. And when the lights came on, they realized that no, they had just been raped. But the laws on the books weren't capable of handling that type of situation. So states like California have passed rape by deceit laws.
But not Washington State.
But not Washington State. That's correct.
One of the objections to a law change like this would be the slippery slope argument that, well, boy, a lot of people misrepresent themselves before having sex. You pretend to be different from how you are and then have sex with someone. Is that basically the argument?
That is, and it's a good question to ask. At the same time, I would say that there's a difference between misrepresenting yourself to someone in an interpersonal relationship and saying, you know, have sex with me because I'm in a band, or have sex with me because I floss regularly, and telling someone to have sex with you because it will lead to a business opportunity. And Washington State does have laws on the books that prosecute fraud or misrepresentation of a business opportunity that one defense attorney and former municipal judge in Las Vegas told me could be potentially applied in this case. But the other discussion we should be having is that our laws on the books do cover, to some extent, consent. But I think this has been highlighted by the Stanford rape case. The number of rapes that actually get reported to police are a fraction. The number of cases that get turned over to a prosecutor, get turned into arrests, are a fraction. And the number of convictions that result are a fraction. And then the sentencing on top of it is often light, especially for more privileged members of society, white, educated men.
Well, you could see why women wouldn't want to go to the police about a situation like this. I was really surprised they gave you their names in your stories, didn't they?
Yeah, I was really, really floored by that, too, because for so long, as you know, it's been journalistic convention to not use the names of rape victims. But I think that these survivors wanted to reclaim that space, and they wanted to reject shame. And knowing that silence is to some degree complicity in our society for crimes such as rape, they wanted to own it. I don't know if I could have made the same decision if I were in their shoes.
Sydney Brownstone, reporter at The Stranger.